Hi, this is Scott Wiper, director of The Condemned, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I am Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies on this April 27th, 2007. Yes. And Kevin, I am tired today.
I am tired
of crappy movies.
How can you be tired of crappy movies? You've seen one movie that's coming out this week.
Well, I was busy this week hanging out with Jessica Alba, and who was very recently ranked number one in the top 100 hottest women in the world.
In the world, yeah. There's probably some really hot babe in Bangladesh that nobody knows about, but she's probably hotter than Jessica Alba.
I highly doubt it.
My question to you is was this the real Jessica Alba, or was this a two-dimensional Jessica Alba of some sort of stained page variety?
My fancy computer can make her 3D.
Oh, that's right. Your computer that cures cancer.
That cures cancer,
and finds weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and all that good stuff.
Yes, yes. I found Osama, but I'm holding out on the government.
That's right.
Yeah, until they take away the taxes. So,
well, as you heard at the beginning of the show, you got we had a little intro from Scott Wiper, my good friend. Well, I wouldn't say good friend. I just know him. But he's an Ohio guy, you know.
Cool.
And he directed The Condemned, the one movie you did get out and actually crawl out of your hole and see this week.
Yes, the one movie that I absolutely cannot wait to talk about.
Well, let's talk about it. Here we go. We're going to jump right into the reviews. The Condemned, the new WWE film, the vehicle for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Here's a clip.
On a remote island, the most vicious form of illegal entertainment.
Give me 182, please.
Is about to go online.
These contestants were already dead. Each was on death row. After 30 hours, I will set the last one left alive free.
Aha. Reality TV hits the internet with The Condemned.
Yeah.
WWE. Neil, I know you're just dying to talk about this because I'm going to be talking through the rest of the show because you haven't seen anything. What did you think of this movie?
Well, Kevin, I feel like I have to protect the sensible listeners of our show from this one.
Well, thank you. Because there are no sensible listeners to our show, so you can shut up right now, I guess.
This movie is exactly what it looks like.
So it was a success in what it set out to do.
Well, yeah, well, sure. It's very, very much for a certain demographic, the beer-drinking, wife-beating, UFC
watching.
Well,
now
watching.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. I would say wife-beating.
Oh, come on. It's a movie about people killing each other on the internet and people watching.
Ergo, wife-beaters.
Ergo, wife-beaters. It's not my cup of tea as...
Well, that's because you're not married and you don't beat your wife. See, there
right.
You go. That's your problem.
Exactly. I thought it works for the specific demographic of people that enjoy the WWE, UFC, mullets.
See, this is the thing. I like The Condemned. I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I took this as just a big popcorn action movie, and I think in that sense it completely succeeded. Now, you were there because we sat next to each other in the screening before the film. They showed a trailer for Delta Farce with DJ Qualls and Larry the Cable Guy, whom I nominated last year for the Central Ohio Film Critics Association as the body of work of the year for Larry the Cable
and
Guy.
And I believe I nominated him for the Gag Awards for Worst Actor of the
That's
Year.
That's true. So. But you got to admit, he's a funny guy. Now, what's funny about this thing is when they showed that trailer, the audience howled and they loved it. And all the critics groaned and rolled their eyes. If you go watch the trailer of Delta Farce, and if you think that's funny and you're ready to go see that, then you're going to like The Condemned, because that's really what it is. And yes, did The Condemned take itself too seriously at times? Possibly, but I think it more or less took the action seriously, and it was just big, dumb, stupid action movie, which is what it was meant to be. It's WWE.
See, I'm okay with big, dumb, stupid action movies, but... It's at least got to show me something new. I mean, this one, it felt like it just exhausted every big, dumb action movie cliche known to man. The plot was terribly predictable. It didn't show me anything that I was interested in other than...
What would have made it better?
Boobs.
Boobs. That's the one thing I do fault the filmmakers for is they didn't have enough boobs in that movie.
Give us something, man.
Well, I would even go as far to say it pushed it towards rocks because right. That's what it's supposed to be. It rocked. I mean, that's the kind of a lot of explosions.
I'm gonna let you have that one, but I still say it sucks. Okay. So,
well, what's next?
Next
is next. That's right. You know, hey, let's move on to Nicolas Cage and my sweet honey mama. You know, at once my wife, you know, dies of a tragic disease or whatever. That's when, you know, Jessica Biel will be my honey mama. They are together in a movie based on another Philip K. Dick story.
Tell me what just happened. What did you see?
If I do what you want, you'll keep me in this chair forever.
You can see things before they happen.
Only my future, except with you. I saw far beyond anything I'd ever seen before. You need to get away from here.
You know, that's actually a warning about the movie. You need to get away from here.
Now, Kevin, I didn't go to the screening.
Yes, you admit. The first
prior commitments with Ms. Alba. And
get a jar of Vaseline.
But... as someone who talks to a lot of film critics, I heard that there was an interesting audience reaction to this one as well.
There was at the end of the movie, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's this big shocker of an ending, and the audience, not just the film critics, the audience groaned. I mean, it's like, we're talking the end of Premonition, groaned.
Oh, yeah.
It was the most hilarious reaction. Second only to the reaction in, well, this is an aside, going back to The Condemned, there was a scene where one of the characters bitch slaps his girlfriend, and there's this guy in the audience that goes, "That's right!"
Yes.
And that got a huge laugh from the crowd, because the guy was dead seriously. You know, he was dead. He was like, hey, who wants to go out with me next?
That's
the
perfect demographic for that movie as well.
Well, you know.
Not to beat a dead horse.
or your girlfriend. You know,
yes.
But no, next, there was this visible, there was this audible groan from, like, I'd say at least a half the audience. Oof. And it was packed with just people you'd want to have see this movie. And you know what? If I could look into the future, I would have not seen this movie. You're a better person for it, for not going to see this movie.
Solid.
You know, I'll tell you, though, the dickheads, you know, being the Philip K. Dick fans, that's what they call themselves.
They're dickheads.
Okay. The dickheads are probably, you know, just killing themselves over this film because, you know, Philip K. Dick, he had Blade Runner, and it went all downhill from there. In terms of films, he's a huge sci-fi author, but all of his films have either been substandard or not so good. And the one that everyone says is probably closest to, you know, realistically good for his piece was A Scanner Darkly, which was dumb and stupid anyways.
Right.
So, no, this one was not a film that you want to go see. It's bad. And there's no boobs from Jessica Alba. Shame on you, Jessica Alba, for keeping
Jessica Biel.
Well, there's no boobs from Jessica Alba either. But shame on both of you.
In the movie.
They should have had come in, had the lesbian sex scene, gotten out. Yeah. That would have made the movie so much better.
It absolutely would have been good.
Yeah. We're going to head on to a break right now, and we're going to hit back with the rest of the reviews that Neil hasn't seen. And later on the show, we got Scott Wiper to talk a little bit about his movie.
And we are back. And Kevin, before we talk about more movies that I did not see, I just wanted to remind all of our faithful listeners out there a couple different ways that you can get in touch with Fat Guys of the Movies. The first is email, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. The other very easy one, fatguysofthemovies.com. Pretty simple. You can also get us on dig.com and podcastalley.com.
And voicemail.
And voicemail, which I have the phone number coming. Give me one second.
Well, I hear that we had, did we get any email lately?
Other than the fact that we won a few international lotteries.
Have you gotten off the, you know, gotten off your chair and gone and given them your social security number and mother's maiden name and all that good stuff yet?
Just no way.
I've got it. I'll give them a call. I'll give them your mother's maiden name and your social security
number. You got all that information. But also our voicemail, if you'd like to call in and leave us something, we'll play it on the show, I promise.
Trash us. Tell Neil that he's an idiot for not liking The Condemned.
Sure. Is area code 614-388-8732. 365, and we're still working on what that actually spells out on the
television. Yeah, it's 365. So give us a call. Let's get back to the reviews of all movies, right? That now we're in movies that I also haven't seen as well. The other big movie coming out is The Invisible.
You saw me. Can you help me?
You'll never be seen again.
My son is missing.
You must be in class right now, Mrs. Powell.
They can't touch you. They can't hear you.
I'm right here!
But if you can solve the mystery of your own death, then you'll have the chance to live again.
What's special about the movie The Invisible? You, and this wasn't you being lazy, Neil. This was, they didn't let us see this. So what does that mean?
Lame.
Sucks. It sucked. Did we even bother talking about this movie?
No, because it might as well be invisible.
So. They didn't let the critics see, and something must be wrong. All so right. Let's move on to the next one. Year of the Dog with Molly Shannon. Although this did open limited last week, it's getting a wider spread this week.
I'm so sorry. You know, I had a dog when I was younger, and when she died, I was devastated.
Why does Aunt Peggy need cheering up?
Because Pencil died today.
Hi, we have a dog who needs a home. I thought maybe you might fall in love with him. I'm just desperate because I don't want to see him die. But no pressure.
You were saying you had a dog who died when you were young?
Tessie, she's my right-hand bitch.
Oh.
Sorry, I mean in the dog way of being a bitch.
How did she die?
I shot her. You want some more wine?
This is Kevin Carr here again with some bad guys at the movie, and my right-hand bitch next to me is...
Neil Miller.
You did not see Year of the Dog. You skipped that one.
No, I skipped that one in lieu of getting some work done. Nice.
I did see it, though. First of all, warning, this is not a kid's film. It's got dogs in it. Yeah, it's cute. But it deals with some adult issues. It deals with, you know, death, and it deals with sex, and it deals with some bizarre, weird stuff that happens. It's really this journey of a woman who kind of spirals into insanity, dog insanity, and taking care of her dogs and getting more and more involved in rescuing and stuff. And she's got a good heart, but she does kind of go way over the edge. But it's a hilarious movie. It's actually incredibly well done. I was very impressed with it. It might work for a date movie if you're into the more sort of independent fare.
All right. So I'm going to have to go with you on that one, Kevin. I just didn't.
I'd go as far as say this rocked.
Oh, all right. Nice.
But let's talk about the next movie, the other movie that came out this week and that is not being screened for critics.
Thank God.
My friend, Jamie Kennedy, again, kind of doing a take on his old B-Rad.
I think it's time I introduce you to the internet. Bodies aren't supposed to midget, cheese whiz, by the power of Grayskull.
It's like you're a 12-year-old stuck in a 30-year-old body.
I missed everything.
Gremlins 2, Ghostbusters 2.
Now, Kevin, I will give you this. That is the second movie in the last couple of weeks that has used the line by the power of Grayskull.
What was the other movie?
Hot Fuzz, which was fantastic.
And I'm going to go as far to say, you know, kicking it old school, Jamie Kennedy plays a breakdancer who at the age of 12 hits his head, goes into a coma, wakes up in his 30s. And he then tries to win a breakdancing tournament to get busy with this girlfriend he had who turns out to be, like, she's supposed to be 30 in the movie, but she looks like she's 18.
All right.
So, you know what? Jamie Kennedy trashed me because I trashed his movie, Son of Mask. And then he goes out and makes this movie, which I know is just going to suck awfully hard. This is going to suck so bad. I can't even watch the trailers. He's like, oh, I missed everything. Gremlins 2. And I mean, you also missed Son of Mask 2, so you're okay with that.
Yes.
No, this is a preemptive suck on my part.
Yes, very bad.
Yeah. So let's move off of these sucky movies and talk about entertainment news. What do we have going on this week in entertainment, aside from the fact that Jessica Alba is the hottest woman on the face of the earth?
Well, we've got a couple things. We'll start with another very, very hot female, Kate Beckinsale, who was last week confirmed to be in the Barbarella movie.
Is she going to be wearing the clear chest plate?
Well, that's my big... This week, she's not even in it anymore.
Yeah, so she won't show her boobies.
Thanks for the dupe there, Kate. Also,
Who is in it? Rosie O'Donnell?
Nobody has been renamed yet.
That would be the greatest joke on the planet, to put Rosie O'Donnell as Barbarella.
Yeah, because she's going to have some time off, because she's not returning to The View.
Supposedly, what's his name? Trump got her fired.
Well, Trump's that's a what he douche. Claimed. He's got the worst hair
and
ever.
And Rosie O'Donnell's a douchebag. It's like a battle of the douchebag. It's the douchebag smackdown
battle. Yeah. I like that. We should get all the douchebags together and put them on an island, and that'll be more interesting than The Condemned.
And they could kill each other. That's right. We could put it on the internet. Blow them up with C4.
I'm sure I would subscribe to that for $50.
All right, what else is on the list?
Some sad news. Jack Valenti died today.
I thought he died like weeks ago.
No, he had a stroke, and he died at the age of 85.
You can't talk about it. That's NC-17 material.
That's unfortunately sad. Yeah. Our show's been rated NC-17 in honor of Jack Valenti.
So let's see. There's full frontal nudity right here in the car. You just don't see it.
Oh, again. Oy. And also some major news. The Dark Knight has begun shooting in Chicago.
Yes.
I think last week we talked about some really crappy pictures of a Gotham City bank.
I hear there's a bank and a helicopter in this movie.
This week, there's a bank, a helicopter, and this week we got some photoshopped images of Heath Ledger's stand-in looking like the Joker. It looked more like the Crow than the Joker.
So it really wasn't Heath Ledger?
It really wasn't Heath Ledger.
See, I think what they need to do is they need to have Heath Ledger, they need to have an appearance by Jake Gyllenhaal, the new Spider-Man, and they can make out at the end of the movie.
All right. All right.
And that would get an NC-17 from Jack Valenti.
From the grave.
From the grave.
All right.
Anything else pushing the envelope here?
We are so going to hell for this. Wow. But the only other thing was that Michael Bay came out and said that Optimus Prime, there was a video clip online where Optimus Prime talks and his mouth moves. Michael Bay came out and said, that's not the real voice of Optimus Prime. I gotcha.
It was Jamie Kennedy.
It was like a piece of test footage that somebody leaked on the internet. Thank God for the internet.
Yeah, woohoo. So, all right, well, we'll just move on here. We'll come back in a little bit, and we'll give our sort of we'll discuss what's going to hit the top this weekend.
Excellent.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly like a cigarette. Kiss me.
And here we are back with Fat Guys at the Movies. We're going to wrap this thing up with Neil and I offset have been having a little bit of an argument about what's going to top the weekend this week. And we're going to devote the next couple minutes to this.
Well, I think also we're both in agreement. That's even a word.
No,
agreement.
It's not.
That Disturbia is probably not going to be number one.
Yeah, I mean, Disturbia is a good movie, but, you know, it's had 2 weeks at number one. There's like 9,000 films that have come out since then. I think it's going to lose some steam. It just has to. It's the natural order of things. It's, you know, it's not... Mm-hmm. This isn't Titanic.
Now, I think just based on volume alone, Next will replace it. Plus, there's a little bit more star power to Next. You have Nick Cage. You got Jessica Biel. I would go... If I were average Joe Public, didn't know anything about what a good movie is, I would probably just go see Next based on the headliners.
I will agree that the people going to see Next are not going to know what a good movie is. And they won't after seeing Next either, because it's not a good movie. Although, you know, Nicolas Cage isn't a guaranteed lock to win the box office. He did well. He did okay in Ghost Rider, but that was more for Ghost Rider than the action's, you know, big stupid action flick. Speaking of big stupid action flick, that's why I think The Condemned actually has a shot to top the weekend, because Next... It's going to be its closest competition. I don't think The Invisible is going to really crank up a whole lot of numbers, because we've seen a whole lot of these movies and they just haven't been doing that well this year. And, you know, kicking it old school, you know, The Condemned is just going to eat that and poop that one out
right.
faster than...
Same thing with The Invisible. It's not good.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the Next might get number one. I think it's going to be a neck and neck race. If Next gets it, it's going to be like 10 million and like 9 million. It's not going to be a huge gap. So
all right, and mark my words, the dark horse this week to jump into the top five and shake some things up is Hot Fuzz. It is expanding this week. It is the best movie out there right now. Go see Hot Fuzz.
Does this go along with your prediction that Grindhouse is going to just increase on
this
third weekend?
No, this is much different than Grindhouse. Hot Fuzz will do very well.
All right, well, we'll go back. We'll be back in the show in a little bit. We're going to take a break, and we're going to do DVDs and our interview with Scott White.
All right, and we're back. We're going to talk some DVDs here. And I have an interesting pick this week, Kevin. Nothing really big to me caught my eye.
Nothing big, like one of the top grossing movies of the year.
I know, and we're going to talk about that here in a second, but...
Nothing like Academy Award winning performances?
What came out this week?
The Queen.
The Queen, great. More Helen Mirren, more of those old chicks for you.
That's right.
Hey, I wish Brian were here in his cage. He could make fun of you.
No, she had a nice rack, and I've seen Calendar Girls. She looked pretty good.
Yeah, all right. She looked all right at the Oscars, too.
I do Helen Mirren from Calendar Girls.
All right.
But not from The Queen. That's sort of...
Gotta get back to the DVDs here. Okay. We keep talking about boobs, but there's no boobs in this movie. It's Harry and the Hendersons. It's a childhood favorite of mine.
Are there Harry boobs in this movie?
Well, Harry's naked, I guess, if you want to consider that nudity or dudity, whatever.
Dude.
This is one of my all-time favorite movies from when I was young. It has that weird charm of being really creepy and really fun all at the same time.
Now, here's my question for you, because I've never seen it.
You've never seen Harry and the Hendersons?
No, I have not. I may have to rent your, platinum edition copy of it.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen it on DVD. I'm sure it's out. It's been out, but this is the first time I've seen it,
Your Criterion Collection Laserdisc copy of it, I'll have to borrow from you
sometime. I've
got
two.
And this is not trashing the movie, because I haven't seen it. I'm just curious, was it great because it's a great... I mean, does it hold up now when you watch it? Or is it one of those things that you loved when you were a kid and then you watch it today and you're kind of like, I can see where I loved it as a kid, but it is kind of gay?
I definitely don't think it's gay. It is more of that nostalgia thing. It's more of seeing it and saying, yeah, this is why I liked it as a kid. If I saw it brand new today, would I really like it as much as I did? No, but that's kind of the fun of some of these special edition DVD
releases. I'll give you that. I mean, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So this is for all the people in there. Did you see it in the theaters when you were a kid?
I don't remember. It came out
when you were a kid in
like
the 90s.
I probably caught it on TV or on video when I was...
Well, I'm going to say my pick of the week is also a kid's movie. It's Night at the Museum with Ben Stiller. This one was one that did incredibly well at the theaters, which, it surprised me how well it did, the legs it had. And I think the reason for that is, when you talk about sort of like family adventure, the only thing it had competing against it was Aragon, which was a piece of crap.
Turd.
And... Night at the Museum was a lot of fun. My kids love it. We've watched it a million times on video already, so I'm getting a little tired of it. But it did incredibly well. It got trashed by a lot of critics. Mm-hmm. But it's a good, fun family film. And if you like Ben Stiller, he does his Ben Stiller shtick. Mm-hmm. And you got Robin Williams not doing his Robin Williams shtick, which is nice to
always
see in a
fun
movie. And it does well. It comes out with a two-disc special edition. It's got a whole bunch of extras. It's just loaded with features. Night at the Museum's a great film for the whole family.
Cool.
Other movies I liked. Deja Vu was okay. Did you see Deja Vu?
I just got it on DVD. it was okay.
You know, for a time travel movie, it has its problems. But you know what's funny is I fell asleep in the theater seeing it because it wasn't necessarily anything about the movie. It was just I had a long day. And I dozed off like at the worst time, like when they explain everything. And I wake up and I'm sort of trying to piece it together. And I couldn't really say it was good or bad time travel because I missed the explanation. I'm like, well, this doesn't seem to be totally making sense within itself, but maybe it is. And I just don't know.
Right.
You know?
Who knows? It could have made sense.
Yeah. So, but still it was decent. It has whole plot holes and it does kind of have this Michael Bay moment with a big car chase in the middle. But it's okay for a thriller, Tony Scott thriller with Denzel Washington. Other ones we talked about is The Queen.
The Queen is out.
Your sugar mama.
I'm going to agree with you. I would bang Helen Mirren.
I'd bang Helen if she's dolled up.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you.
Not dressed as Queen
Elizabeth.
She's
a pretty hot old lady.
Yeah, I'd do her. Of course, after my wife dies of a tragic disease and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. the other one, I think this is in running for your best movie of the year, Codename the Cleaner.
Yeah, oh yeah. This... me and Cedric the Entertainer. That's right up there with Larry the Cable Guy. What a turd of a movie that was.
You know, I thought it was...
What a waste.
For this movie, like, opening, like, the first or second week of the year, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. I've seen a lot worse. But,
Lucy Liu at least get, like, semi-naked in the movie?
No.
There's no way she...
No, Nicola Sheridan does.
Oh, all right.
And she actually looks pretty good for a chick in her 40s. She ain't bad. I mean... Hey, you know what? I'll go on record to say this. If you had Nicholas Sheridan and Helen Mirren, I would hop in bed for, you know, a little Kevin sandwich.
Okay. All right. It's not the Jessica trifecta, but
I mean, yeah, it would
work.
I would settle for that. Okay. But no, I mean, she looks pretty good, and it's not a good movie. It's probably the stinker of the week, but it's out there. It's on DVD, so it's worth mentioning in the DVD roundup.
It's worth renting if you really, really have a lot of time on your hands.
Yes, but another good one out there that I want to kind of throw a shout out to is WKRP in Cincinnati Season 1 coming out on DVD. I don't know if you've ever watched the show. I mean, this was before your time.
Never at all.
You know, this was back in the, you know, there was this time before the Reagan administration called the 70s that it existed.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they made movies like Star Wars. It was only on for like 3-4 years maybe, but it was a great little movie, a great little show, and it was one of those shows that came out of the gate and was good.
I see.
And some of the classic episodes, people remember like the turkey episode and you know the funeral home jingle episode. Those all took place in the first season, which you don't always get in a movie like Seinfeld. First season sucked ass. Just right. Bad, you know, but this one was a good show. So WKRP in Cincinnati, other ones that are coming out this week. There's some, the Drew Carey Show is coming out. You got One Day at a Time Season 1.
Flipper
Season
awesome.
1.
Awesome.
Flipper, that was like before the 70s.
Yeah, but that's still awesome.
And the dolphin was abused.
Ew.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't get that.
Dolphin went kind of. I think the real flipper went insane.
Yeah.
Because it was like kept in this cage all the time and like had a ball was his friend. I mean, yep. It was sort of like Castaway only with a dolphin.
Nice. 10 items or less is on there as well. Yeah, that's a decent little indie flick.
Did you see that
from last year? I did not, but I heard a lot of good things.
You heard a lot of good things. As good as Condemned.
Now that I notice that's out, Condemned was terrible. Stop it. But now that I know that that's out, I might pick that up. So.
You might pick it up. Okay, Parenthood Special Edition.
All right.
NCIS Season 3 and The Odd Couple Season 1, did I already mention that? You got Jean-Claude Van Damme in Until Death. Is that a new one? You're a huge Jean-Claude Van Damme. I've seen you lather up.
I love the one with him and Dennis Rodman. That was just the best Jean-Claude
Van Damme. Was that Sudden Impact? No,
something like that.
No, that was a Dirty Harry movie.
All right.
Yeah, but that's what we've got. Grease, Tupac, Panic in Needle Park, Columbo.
Wow.
Al Franken, Godspoke, James Cagney, all that good stuff.
Yeah, the Al Franken documentary. That was a hot one from last year. I might pick that up.
I don't know if it was a hot
one. With my liberal brothers. Storm the Castle or something.
That's right. You can watch it in a double feature with Death of a President.
Yes, and fall asleep.
Well, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we got an interview with Scott Wiper that Neil was not involved with because I was be afraid Scott would beat him up. And we're back with Fat Guys at the Movies. This is Kevin Carr and
Neil Miller.
Yes, and we earlier this week, I had a chance to talk with Scott Wiper, the director of The Condemned. Now, if anyone doesn't know, Scott's a Columbus, or he's from Granville, which is outside of Columbus, but he grew up in Central Ohio. He actually grew up a little bit in my hometown of Upper Arlington, Ohio, which is a small suburb of Columbus. And it was a nice chance to get a chance to talk with him. I worked on one of his films before and had known somewhat well. And so I had a chance to talk to him about this this new movie he's got, The Condemned.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing?
Pretty good. This year I've had a blast. You know, spent a majority of it in Australia where we filmed the movie. It's like you don't have to grow up. You know, you go out in the wilderness and you blow things up.
Now, how'd you get hooked up with the WWE for this movie?
You know, I've had the same agent for 10 years. I met him in 97. He's my age. I met him when he was just starting, and we've had a great relationship. And he called me one day and said, hey, there's a script called The Condemned, and it's an action vehicle for Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Vince McMahon is financing it. And he was financing it for 10 times the budget of my last movie, Better Way to Die. So it's a big, big movie. I read the script, and they'd said it needed work, and they wanted it rewritten, and I agreed. And so I was hired to rewrite the script and to direct. So I had a 30-minute verbal pitch on how I would rewrite the script from scratch. That involved Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, plot twists, the whole deal, new characters. And then on my G4 Mac, I had done a slideshow. There's no rules to these meetings. You just kind of go in there and you do your best to convey to them how you would direct the film. And I think they also thought that I'd be a because of my background, coming from Granville. Stone Cold comes from a small town in Texas. We both grew up in similar towns. We both played college football. We were both outside linebackers. I think they felt that he and I would hit it off. And sure enough, when we first got together, we did.
In A Better Way to Die, you talked about trying to emulate Sam Peckinpah. Were you going for the same style with this film?
I think this is a little more kinetic, The Condemned, because it's a movie about a reality TV show. So I thought the movie had to even be more real. And so I looked at also the films of John Borman, like The Deliverance, William Friedkin, like The French Connection. There's something about those 70s movies that had a documentary feel to it. And so the violence, I wanted it to kind of almost feel like combat film or combat footage. So I think it's the Peckinpah with a little, it's Peckinpah on steroids.
What do you think of reality TV today?
First off, I do not like reality TV. Probably the most tedious part of this job was when I first sat down to write the script. I had to go rent, seasons 1 and 2 of Survivor and Fear Factor. And because I had to educate myself on reality TV. And I remember on Fear Factor, like, some 19-year-old girl had to eat a cockroach. And I was like, people are actually watching this, and this girl is eating a cockroach. And I said, well, how do we take this to the nth degree? And then that, goes to, obviously, murder. And since that would be illegal, I came up with the idea of putting it on the Internet. But I think it's, for me, what I held on to, because the first goal is to make a fun, action-packed popcorn movie, but with this much violence, I think you have to have something else there, or else the violence becomes pornography. And for me, there has to be some sense of a cautionary tale about our obsession with violence and our obsession with violence on the screen.
Do you prefer using practical or CGI effects?
I see too many CGI explosions in action movies now. I see too many. I see things that just take me out of it. And there's I wanted The Condemned to feel authentic, so the goal was to do as few visual effects shots as possible. There's absolutely no blue screen or green screen in this. So anytime you see an actor or actors fighting in a helicopter and out the open door of the helicopter you see the jungle and the ocean, it's the real deal. I think when you do that, there's an effect. You just feel. I think that whether someone is a film scholar or not, subconsciously they know when they're looking at blue screen, green screen, and it also helps the actors. Man, you put them in the real situations, and you hang them off the side of a helicopter, and it's the real deal. And the only thing holding them is a cable. It helps the performance.
What did the wrestling fans think of The Condemned?
We premiered this at WrestleMania. Friday night, there was the opening. Vince McMahon had, Friday night was The Condemned, Saturday night was the Hall of Fame, and then Sunday was WrestleMania. So, and they broke the at WrestleMania, they broke the attendance record at Ford Field, 80,103. So there were people there from all over the world and all over the country, and they packed the theater with 5,000 fans for the movie. They went ballistic. I think any action fans, I think, will dig it. But then this is that on steroids. It's like they came in there, and because everyone there was a Stone Cold fan, and the moment he came on screen, they just went nuts.
Well, there you have it. I think Scott had a really good handle on this film.
Yeah, he sounds like a nice enough guy. Like I said, I didn't necessarily
think... He does
think,
not beat his wife. I don't even think he's married.
I thought he made a decent flick for the demographic, but personally, I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
So. But, okay. You know, I mean, this is his second major film.
As a director. Second film. His first film was an indie he did when he was like right out of college, in Central Ohio. Then he did one called A Better Way to Die, which is what I worked on, as a lowly production assistant. But he was a great guy on that. And this one, it took him, gosh, like 7 years to get this thing going. He's pretty down to earth, and he will point out that it takes a while for these projects to get off the ground. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, I think when it comes to an action director, he's really got his head on straight, and he knows what action is and what you need for action. And I think if you give him the budget and you give him the actors and you give him the script, I think he could be potential to be. He's better than Michael Bay. Michael Bay's
crap.
Michael Bay is
ass. Me.
Yeah, Michael Bay's the Antichrist.
We're gonna war. We have to go to a break, don't we?
Yes, we have to go to a break.
We better go to a break.
We'll war later. When it comes to July 4th, when we talk about.
Oh yeah, we're talking about Transformers. On now, buddy. Bad Boys 2 is fantastic.
No, Bad Boys, oh my god, Bad Boys 2 was an abortion in cinema. It was so bad. The only thing I liked about Bad Boys 2 was the fact that it actually used practical explosions.
I am seriously offended about the Bad Boys 2 thing.
Bad Boys 2?
That was one of the things I liked about Hot Fuzz, is that they watched Bad Boys 2.
They were making fun of Bad Boys 2.
No, but it was a great action movie.
Did you think Point Break was a great movie? Point Break was just ridiculous and stupid, and they were calling it out. No. That was the whole purpose of Hot Fuzz.
Michael Bay, with the exception of Pearl Harbor, you have to let Pearl Harbor go. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody smoked pot in college. That was a mistake.
I think everyone smoked pot in Michael Bay's movies.
But God, The Rock. How can you not like The Rock?
Connery. He was the biggest wuss of a bad guy. He should have blown up the stadium. That's the thing in The Rock.
God, man.
Did we get any mail? We already talked about mail.
Yeah, we didn't get any fun mail.
Flames? More letters than flames?
We didn't get any flames. Please flame us. I mean, or whatever. Just call.
Can we talk about my Aqua Teen Hunger Force review and how this guy just completely trounced on me?
Yeah, God, that was... if you go to filmschoolrejects.com, search Aqua Teen Hunger Force, there's only one review on there, and it's Kevin's. Apparently somebody took severe offense to you.
They
not
were
like
mad.
You were,
he was insulting you, too. He wasn't just insulting me.
Right, yeah,
he was
pissed at me because I was defending you, and I was like, listen, you know, Kevin didn't like it. I can understand why he didn't like it. I even said I expected you to think it was funny, at least, because based on your sense of humor, I was like, well, Kevin will probably get this.
Don't fall into that trap. I did get Aqua Teen. I just didn't think it was funny.
Right.
It's like Beavis and Butthead. The show, never liked the show. I got the show.
Right.
Never liked the show. Movie, I thought was really good, really kind of clever.
Right.
So.
All right. So, but if you have something to say, please say it. You can hit us up, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. fatguysthemovies.com. You can make little comments under each one of our episodes. And also, you can give us a phone call.
Which I urged the guy, the Aqua Teen lover guy, I urged him in a big way to give us a call at Fat Guys at the Movies. And yes, he didn't. The wuss. He backed off.
Yeah,
what a jerk.
What a pansy.
That guy needs to...
That phone number, just in case you need to be reminded, was area code 614-388-8735.
What is that again? Just good.
614-388-8735.
All right, give us a call and, you know, tell me what an idiot I am and all that kind of
stuff. You know what? Tell us you love us.
Tell us, yeah. Jessica. Any one of you.
You can stop calling my cell phone at this point.
Yes, there you go.
We all know about, you know. Anyways.
Well, let's look ahead to next week. We've got
Spider-Man.
Lucky You and Spider-Man. Oh, yeah, Spider-Man's coming out.
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man.
Right.
Beginning of the summer movie season.
Woohoo!
No big deal there.
Green flag over the tarmac, yeah. So we'll be talking extensively about Spider-Man and maybe just a little quip about Lucky You, depends on whether we like it or not.
Yes. Yeah. And I somehow, I have the same power as the guy from Next. I predict there will be a fight next week.
Yes. Look ahead. It won't be about Michael Bay. And we will see you next week.
Adios.